Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Prague Watch. Tonight, you join us in the far meadow, where the atmosphere is very peaceful and tranquil. Various fish are swimming lazily. And in the distance, formal horses are quietly grazing. Suddenly, the peace is shattered by the arrival of a stampeding herd of Gabriels. And what seems to be a rather oversized tiger moth.
Hello, you fellows! It's Pete Jones from Tiger Moth Tales here. You're listening to Prague Watch with Anthony Rosick. Chocks away!
Thank you. Hello, guten tag, g'day, konnichiwa, however you like to say it. But welcome to Prague Watch, my friends. Big Tony the Prague Squatch here, acting as your host for the next 80 minutes or so. Our opening number was called Book of Dreams, and it comes from the 2011 Magenta album entitled Chameleon. Based on that opening track, you may have guessed that this week I am finishing up on my coverage of Rob Reed, the mastermind behind Magenta, Cyan, and Compendium, and a member of various other side projects including Chimpan-A and Kiyama. This episode will serve as companion to, or conclusion of, episode 418, which was part one of my Rob Reed coverage. You can find that episode at progwatch.com in season 4 if you missed it. Well, this should be a fun one. In our interview, Rob and I talked at length about his Sanctuary albums and the new Magenta record, and a little later we will hear from both of those. First up, let's hear from a little project that Rob was involved in called Chimpan-A. This was done in conjunction with vocalist Steve Balsamo, who also features on the Eric Wolfson Poe musical, guitarist Rob Thompson of the Welsh band The Stories, and Christina Booth, who is of course Magenta's vocalist. Our friend and resident reviewer Rob Fisher turned me on to this album, and he feels that it was very much ahead of its time for being released in 2006. He loves the vocals, the dub, orchestral samplings, and electronica stylings of the track It's Only Sin, and that is the tune to which we will be listening.
We let it out, let it out, and we let it out. love, love. It's only love, 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 love.
Once again, that was Rob Reed's project, Chimpan A, from their only album, their self-titled 2006 debut. The name of the track was It's Only Sin. Now I'd like to let you listen in on more of my epic conversation with Rob Reed.
You talked a little bit before about how you're a fan of music with strong melodies, ELO. You even, I think, in interviews have cited ABBA as an example.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, you seem very at home doing a lot of instrumental stuff like the Sanctuary projects and prog rock epics with Magenta and Compendium. How do you reconcile it? And is it a matter of the given project and the people that you're working with? Or is it just certain stuff dictates that you're going this way or that way?
God, I think it's because I like so many styles of music. I think that's, you know, anything with a good melody in it. And that's why like bands like ABBA, you know, ABBA have got corny lyrics.
The lyrics. By the way, I like ABBA too. So you're talking to, you know, I'm not one of these ones. I think Dancing Queen is one of my favorite disco songs of all time. I mean, it's just the kitschy piano. Everything about it is like perfect.
You know, I always say that is my, the most perfect 3.5 minutes ever written is Dancing Queen.
Really? Lyrics, really?
Yeah. You know, I will say if it was my Desert Island disc, one song, 3.5 minutes, would be Dancing Queen. Is by the production on it.
It's great.
The amount of hooks that come out of the strings, that say the piano part on it, everything is stunning. The lyrics are awful, but take away that, oh my God, the melodies and the production, the sound, the play in the band playing it is incredible, you know. And but that's one of my failings is that I'm not a big fan of lyrics, you know, and I think that's why it's all about the melody for me. And that's why the things like the sort of Sanctuary projects, and in particular, like my love and fascination for Mike Oldfield and Tubular Bells and things.
I'm a big fan of him also, by the way.
That was my, when I started, you know, back in the day when I got into playing music and things, Tubular Bells, I think I was about 8, I think it was, when my parents bought me Tubular Bells because I just loved the opening. And that got me into doing all this. I wanted to learn to play all the instruments. And I love the way with Mike Oldfield's albums that the guitar playing, the melodies, they're like a human voice. For me, he is speaking through that guitar. You know, and it's the same with like Dave Gilmour. You know, there's an emotion that...
Oh, yeah.
You don't need to have words to convey an emotion, you know, and in music, I think melody can move you equally as much. And sometimes, I think words get in the way. That's my controversial, you know, I don't like bad words, you know, really terrible words, you know, but for me, the first thing I got to listen to is the melody. And so all my projects, you know, that's the key to it all. You can have words, you can have singing. But even in the Sanctuary records, there are vocals on it, but they are singing nondescript words.
Right.
You know, it's like the sort of, a lot of classical composers do it. And I just believe that you can create emotion and mood purely with instrumental music as well, really. And so even with Magenta and Compendium, even the parts where there's no singing, I'd like to think that the music still moves you as well. And that's my influence of Mike Oldfield, you know. And I love, he is my sort of number one influence on all my stuff. And
I was going to ask you about how you slipped into, I mean, I thought those Sanctuary albums, you really captured his style. And to me, that's kind of fascinating because, you know, I mentioned that I am a bit of a musician myself, a composer, but you know, I'm just grateful whenever I have an idea and I let it take me wherever. So I don't really try to write anything in a certain style. It's just whatever happens. Sometimes I've just made up songs where I'm just running through the presets on some new keyboard plugin that I have, and a sound makes me play a few notes, and then from there I'm like, wow, you know, then I could do this and I could do that, and you get a song out of it. And sometimes you spit that out in like 2 or 3 days, but you know, but it seems like on those Sanctuary albums, what you did, it fascinates me. Did you study his style, or are you just so familiar with his work? Because it seemed you just, you know, the way he would do developing different themes and counterpoints and everything just seemed so Oldfield. If you didn't tell somebody it was Robert Reed, they knew of Mike Oldfield, they might actually say, this is a Mike Oldfield album. I know the instruments have something to do with it. You know, you went with his instruments, but to me, maybe you could just tell me, how did you do it, you know?
No, well, to be honest, it's in my musical DNA, because from the age of 7,
you mentioned,
I'm obsessed with that music, and that's all, you know, I would listen to that, and that's how I learned to play the guitar, and that's the guitar style I play in, which is similar to his style. It's just the way it's come out. And so I've known that music so much, and I've been into it and immersed in it. I knew every detail. I studied how it was all put together. And I've always wanted to make one of those records. And whenever I did interviews, people knew I was sort of into that kind of music, and they would say, "Oh, when are you going to make one of those, a solo record?" And I was like, "Oh no, the time was not right." And I was doing Magenta, and then doing Compendium and Cyan, and I've always avoided it. And I don't know why I've always avoided it. And but then, say, I think it's about 4 years ago, I was just sitting. I'd finished the 27 Club, and I just thought, "Oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do?" And I like yourself there, I brought up a piano and a guitar, and I started playing. I thought, oh, this sounds a bit like sort of Mike Oldfield, and it all came out. And I think it's easy to make it sound. The sounds are easy to get. The hard thing, as you say, is getting the tunes to develop. That's what took a year and a half to make the record.
You nailed it.
it was, and there's been some really bizarre, because when I finished the record, I'd done it all, and it was the most enjoyable record I've ever made. I absolutely loved every second of doing it. It was such a pleasure to do it. And I think it was reflected in what came out. And but I thought, I remember playing it and thinking, is this too close? Has it got something to offer? Or is it just like a sort of a fan-made record, a tribute? Is it, you know, or has it, does it survive musically? Which I hoped it would. So there was only like two people I could play it to. There was either Mike Oldfield, who I couldn't get hold of, or Tom Newman, who was the guy that produced the first album with Mike back in 1973 or whatever it was. So I got hold of him, and he's a very outspoken man, and he says it as it is. And I knew that it was, you know, quite dangerous. And I sent him a copy, and I said, "Look, I made this record. I believe in it, but if what have I got you? Is it rubbish? Is it any good?" And I thought, if he says it's rubbish and it's just a cheap copy, then I would have binned it. I would have binned a year and a half's worth of work. But he played it, and he came back and he said, "My God, I haven't heard anything like that for like 40 years. I can't believe that you've actually captured you've got the sounds, yeah, okay, that's the easy bit, but the melodies are so strong, and the way you've developed them are done, and he wanted to get involved with it. And he came along, and he co-produced the album. So he went through another filter to give it its sort of authenticity. And I worked with him for like 2 or 3 months and shaping it and, you know, bringing his experience, which was invaluable. And we did it all via file sharing because he lives in Ireland. And there was even a comical point, where his wife was convinced that it was actually Mike Oldfield getting him to work for a reduced rate. And it was only when I met him a year later and his wife, she said, "Oh my God, you actually exist." She said, I was convinced that you were Mike Oldfield actually getting Tom to work with him. You know, and
that's good.
She said, it was so authentic, you know, and the reaction has been great. You know, I knew that there would be some of the fans would go, "Oh, you can't do this, you can't do that." But for me, the whole point of making the record was because Mike Oldfield wasn't making that kind of music anymore. And the bizarre thing is, I made 2 Sanctuary records, mm-hmm. and after the second Sanctuary record, lo and behold, he comes back out. Mike Oldfield comes out with "Return to Armadon."
Yeah,
which is
a hark back to the old days. Yeah.
Oh no! You know, it was a bit of a moment of, oh, all right, okay. You know, for 40 years he had made a record. You know, I made my 2 records, and then next thing he was making another record. It was quite bizarre. Yeah.
Well, he made records, but they just weren't anything like his old stuff. I have all of it. I think.
You know, yeah.
I really enjoyed, you know, and some more than others, obviously. You know, but Yeah, well, yeah, that is funny, you know, because, yeah, you came out with those 2, and then, who knows, maybe he was listening to fan reaction and figured, hey, I could revisit, you know, some of my old style.
I'll show him. I'll show him when we should be done.
Yeah. I enjoyed it, the Return to Armadon. I thought it was really good.
It was, you know, I just think, compared to the last 20 albums he's made, it's a work of art. I think when you compare it to the first 4, then I think it's a different time, a different era. I think nothing will touch those first 4 albums of his, you know, Armadon and Hugus Ridge and Tubular Bells, Incantations. They are that's the landmark. You know, it's a different time. I think for a person to make a record like that again, I think everything was special when he made those records. It was a different era and a different time. And he was different, you know. But yeah, they were parts of the new album I loved. Yeah.
Well, you heard us talking a lot about the Sanctuary Project and the first album in particular in that segment. So let's hear some of that music. This is part 2 of the first Sanctuary album done by Rob Reed in 2014. Like Oldfield's early albums, this album was broken down into 2 roughly album length sides.
Thank you.
Once again, that was part two of the first Sanctuary album released by Rob Reed in 2014. Like I was saying in the talk segment, he really nailed that early Oldfield sound on this project, didn't he?
When one Mellotron just isn't enough, call in the professionals. Progzilla, proving that prog isn't just for dinosaurs.
Now let's hear Rob talk more about the new Magenta album called We Are Legend.
Can I ask if there's anything more in store for Compendium or Kiama?
Oh.
Enjoyed both. You have so much going on. Any idea if you'll be working with those folks again?
Yeah, I think, you know, a new Magenta album was long overdue, really. We've been 3.5, nearly 4 years, so I had to stop doing other projects and, you know, revisit Magenta, and we had to have new material to play live, really, because we were out gigging it, and I thought we desperately needed new material. So I've had to do this album, and it's been really enjoyable. But I'd love to do another Sanctuary record. I definitely want to do that. We got a couple of live shows. We did it live last year for the first time, and that was a massive undertaking. So we're going to do, we're doing another show, another Sanctuary live show.
Some of my Progzilla friends were there, I think. Yeah. Saw some photos and yeah.
Yeah, no, that was amazing. We had a 13 piece band. It was a big band and it was lovely. And, there's been a really good reaction to the Sanctuary album. So I'm definitely going to do another, I'll definitely do another one of them. But, the Compendium album, that pains me. Every time I think about that record, it was an incredible record to make, to work with all the people that were on there. But it had such a bad ending to it, where it came to this sudden stop. You know, the record came out, and everyone was loving it, and they would go, look, when are you going to play it live? And the vocalist, the main vocalist that I used on it, refused to go and play it live. So we couldn't go and we couldn't gig it, and we couldn't take it on to its natural progression of doing this huge show. So the album sort of sat there. Whenever I do shows or gigs or interviews, everyone says, what are you going to do with what's happening with Compendium? We love the album. What are you going to do? And I don't know. I've got loads of demos of for a follow up album and for another Compendium album. But, it's never really seen the light of day, so it's on my list of to-dos at the moment is another Compendium album and also the Cyan. I've re-recorded the first album, the very first Cyan album. I've re-recorded that with a new singer, and we put real drums on it and throwing the production at it, and it sounds lovely. And that's going to come out hopefully by the end of the year. That is, I think.
Great.
So I think we're going to restart the old Cyan, because a lot of people again have said, no, what's happening with the back catalogue? I thought, oh, there's some great stuff in there, some great songs. And I thought, especially the first album was, I wrote most of that when I was in school, and it was recorded on a really basic format, you know. So I just thought that could do with revisiting that, really, you know. But I say it's finding time, but it'll definitely, it's nearly finished, so at some point that'll come out.
About Kiama, anything?
Oh, God. with that one, again, it's so hard because, you work with so many people, and the problem is that you rely on these people, and especially when you're working on with a band project. You know, the beauty about the Sanctuary thing, it was only me. So it was easy to work. So whenever I wanted to go in the studio to record, you know, we could do it. And, you know, I had Simon Phillips playing drums on it. So, but that was easy. You know, you pay, you arrange, you send him the demos, he does it, he comes through and it's done. When you do a project like Kiama, which was meant to be going back to this sort of classic 70s rock prog band, like sort of like a Zeppelin kind of project, Deep Purple, you rely on the other four members of the band, and they're all really busy. So trying to get everyone's diaries together, they all play in other bands, it's really hard to get their schedules to come and do, to write and to do more stuff. You know, I love that record. And again, we did a couple of shows with the band, which are amazing. But it's finding people, finding time for people's diaries to align, you know, so we can get up and write some more stuff.
Yeah, I get it.
You know, it is hard, you know. It's hard to, as I said, to make money from it. So everyone's got day jobs, you know, the rest of the guys. So,
yeah.
But I hope so, because that was a great project to do. It was something different, you know. And I took more of a back seat on that. You know, I was more the sort of arranger, keyboard player, which I loved. It was just nice to work with other people, really, rather than on my own, really. You know, which is a lot of the other stuff is.
Okay. So I got a bit of a silly question, actually. So the names of two of your bands, Cyan and Magenta, are involved in this CMYK color model of four color printing. Is there something about that, or and are you planning to name a band Yellow or Black?
It's definitely, it's to do with that, because I remember when we was trying to come up with the name Magenta after doing the Cyan stuff, it wasn't for that, and it was bizarre because the first Magenta album, Revolutions, that a lot of that music was going to be the next Cyan album. It was a bizarre situation. You know, I'd made three Cyan albums and I was on to writing a fourth, and I thought, oh, I'm going to make this epic double album. And again, the singer which I used, I thought, oh God, he moved away and all this kind of stuff, and I was left with all this material. I thought, well, what shall I do? And alongside that, I was in a pop band with Christina, who sings in Magenta. We were in a pop band alongside me doing all this prog. Me and Tina for like 10 years were in a pop band called Tripper, and I could write a book on that band, you know, how not to get a record deal, or how to get offered a huge record deal and how to turn it down, and because our managers were insane. We went through like 14 managers in a period of, oh God, it was about 3 or 4 years towards the end. We kept changing managers because they were all insane, and I was doing, you know, alongside the Cyan, and I was doing this pop stuff, and we came to the end of that, just as I came to the end of doing the Cyan stuff. I mean, and I was sitting there thinking, what should I do? What should I do? And I thought, I've had enough of doing this pop stuff. It was driving me mad. So I thought, right, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to concentrate 100% on doing the prog. And I thought, well, Tina, she's a great singer, but she'd been doing pop. But then I pulled her into, I said, oh, come and try singing this stuff. So I had a lot of the material written, because it was going to be the new Cyan album. But she started singing it, and I thought, oh my God, this works. This sounds like Renaissance. You know, this could really work. And so we developed it, and then we needed a name. And I thought, well, it's a development, and it's the next step from Cyan. So I just looked. I thought, well, what's... Oh, it's Magenta. You know, that'll work. And we took that. But then I think for various other projects, I have at certain times thought, shall I carry her on? But I thought, no, you know, Yellow is too close to Yellow. There's already a band called Black, so I think I'll stop.
Well, the Black is actually the letter K in that, the CMYK, and I guess they call it Key. I don't know why.
Yeah.
So you can always have that key.
Yeah, well, Kiama, see, there you are.
Oh, right.
There's a little bit there, well spotted.
That's pretty good. I didn't have a whole lot else. Was there anything else you wanted to talk about?
No, you know, I think it's just, I'm just excited, but I am excited with this record. As I said, it took me a long time to get excited by this new Magenta album, but it's definitely different, and, you know, it's recorded as a band as well, because normally it's just sort of, I do loads on it, I write it all and all this kind of stuff, and then I get a session drummer in and I play the bass on it and Tina sings. But on this, it's a proper band. We've got a young drummer who's joined us and he's playing on the record. We've got a bass player. So it's got a different feel. The rhythm section is really punchy, and so that's something different. And And lyrically, it's a, you know, it, the whole album hasn't got one concept on it either. As I said, with 27 Club, it's got a concept, and Home had one concept. But this album, the songs are totally unrelated, really. You know, it's called We Are Legend, and that could be taken many ways. It could be taken, because it's all based on one of the tracks on the album, one of the three tracks, is called Legend. And it's based on the film The Amiga Man, which is Charlton Heston film.
I know that film, yeah. I'm very familiar with that. I think we grew up around the same time.
Yeah, yeah. I love all those 70s American sci-fi
Planet
films.
Planet of the Apes and all that stuff, yeah. Yeah.
All that kind of stuff. I love all that. And The Amiga Man was based on a book called We Are Legend.
Yeah, they remade it with Will Smith. Yeah.
And I just thought, play on it, because the song Legend of the album is all about the survivors. It's not about the Charlton Heston. It's all about the other guys, the guys that can't come out in the light.
The daylight, you know, yeah.
The sort of zombie type of characters.
Vampires.
It's from that perspective. And so I play on I Am Legend. I thought, wouldn't it be great to call the album We Are Legend? And obviously some people are going to think that I am saying that, you know, Magenta, We Are Legend. But it's a little bit tongue-in-cheek. But it's, okay. You know, and the artwork has got sort of three characters which look a little bit like the three sort of key members of Magenta in this sort of derelict landscape, you know, and it's just, you know, there's not many prog bands left, so it was almost like instead of the last man on earth, it was the last prog band on earth. So it's a bit of that, really, in the title We Are Legends. So but it could be taken as a sort of very egotistical point of view if you wished as well, but it's not meant to be. It's a bit more tongue-in-cheek, but yeah, you know. So I'll be glad when it's out. It's going to be interesting to see what people make of it as well, you know. So because it is a little different, so
all right, yeah. I mean, unless you had anything else, you know.
No, it's good for me. Yeah, enjoyed that. It was great. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I think we had a fun conversation. I think the audience will enjoy it as well.
Good. Okay.
I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me, and it was fascinating talking to you.
Okay. No, thanks for you. Thanks for your time.
All right. Well, take care, man.
Yeah. I'll speak to you soon. Thank you.
Yeah. Bye. Bye. Well, I hope you enjoyed listening in on my conversation with Rob Reed. In there, you heard him talking quite a bit about the new Magenta album, We Are Legend. So let's go ahead and listen to a track from that album. This one is a real epic called Trojan.
said, my own tin man. You come from the waves so far away. You're here. There you sit alone, the tears will come. Looking for comfort, looking for peace, looking around, looking for someone to
share anger
drifts away as the hurting stops. With the time to find paths to tread in this world, I stare a home to live, to grow, to make new life out there on the new brighter side. I look around in disbelief. Our history brought swiftly back to life the fire that's in your eyes. I look around, fleeting time. I see the need inside your soul, the love that's in your heart. The light it shines when you're all asleep. With love to share, a hope begins to grow.
Trojan from the new Magenta album We Are Legend, released a little earlier this year. And please remember that if you liked any of the music you heard on this program, it would be very nice if you would support Rob Reed and the other musicians he works with by purchasing the albums. When I post this show to my website, progwatch.com, a little later in the week. And when is that again, Justin? Oh yes, on Tuesday afternoon by U.S. Eastern Time Reckoning. But anyway, I will have links that you can follow to find and purchase music by Rob and his various projects, including Magenta. Well, that is about all we have time for this week, so danke, thanks, arigato gozaimasu for coming along for the ride. And if you like the show, you can help support your friendly neighborhood Prague Squatch by liking the Facebook page, Prague-Watch, or following me on Twitter at ProgSquatch, ProgSquatch. Also, if you'd like to get in touch with me to let me know you liked the show, you didn't like the show, to suggest music, whatever, you can contact me at ProgSquatch, all one word, ProgSquatch, @gmail.com. So thanks again, my friends, and until next week, remember to prog on, brothers and sisters.
Ladies and gentlemen, the man song.
He's the man. He's the man.
I don't take no crap from anybody else but you. I wear the pants around here when I finish with your laundry. Cause I'm a guy you don't want to fight. When I say jump, you say yeah, right. I'm the man of this house until you get home.
He's the man. He's the man.
What I say goes around here, right out the window. And I don't want to hear a lot of whining, so I'll shut up. The sooner you learn who's boss around here, the sooner you can give me my orders, dear. Because I'm head honcho around here, but it's all in my head.
He's the man. He's the man.
And I can have sex anytime that you want. Because I'm a man who has needs, but they're not that important. And don't expect any flowers from me, because if I'm not mistaken, you prefer jewelry. I'm the king of my castle when you're not around.
He's the man. He's the man.
And I'll drink and watch sports whenever I want to get in trouble. And I'll come home when I'm good and ready to sleep on the couch. Because a man's got to do what a man's got to do, and I'm going to do what you tell me to, because I'm top dog around here, but I've been neutered.
He's the man. He's the man.
You the